You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We kick off the show with a sense of market movements throughout the day and some other market developments. I'm joined on the line by VIP account manager at PrimeXBT, Kiarabile Nonyana, to take a look at market movements and see what we make of them. Dr. Nonyana, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. It seems as though the markets were in quite the panic earlier in the week, as we thought this was the end of the gold rally, and the gold price just came right back today off the back of possibly some global tensions and said, well, nobody said the rally was over.
Yeah, I think when you look at any technical view on the gold price, you stand to see that the bullish trend remains, because all the fundamental aspects which have driven the gold price still remain. There's still a lot of geopolitical tension. Inflation is not really dealt with. And as well, the safe haven demand is really what's still driving that gold price. I think the sell-off was just a bit of profit taking from a bit of risk from risk traders around the globe who are holding gold positions, especially levered gold positions.
Yeah, how much of that profit taking starts to come into consideration now that we are in uncharted territory on pretty much all of the markets? We're at all-time highs across the board, whether you're looking at equity markets, whether you're looking at markets like the gold price, the platinum pricing. At some point, investors then start to weigh up how much longer can this go, and I suppose then risk and profit-taking start to become more frequent.
I think when you're in a bullish trend, what you do see is cautious optimism. I think right now there's still a lot of caution optimism in terms of the risk on trade. As I wrote in a recent article, that the caution is really coming from the fact that usually gold is seen as the red flag indicator in global markets. And right now it's been pulled on with other risk assets in favor of leaving the US dollar. So right across risk assets, from bonds to equities to commodities to digital assets, you're seeing quite right bullish risk on trade versus the US dollar, which is soft across the board since the beginning of the year.
Yeah, let's take a look at events out of the US. It is pretty much in the thick of earnings season. We've been getting numbers out of various companies. We got numbers out of Tesla quite recently, disappointing numbers by market standards. What do you make of some of the earnings numbers that have been coming out of the US, and do they point towards do they give us a direction around how strong the US economy remains at the moment?
I think you can see it in the major banks' earnings more than anything else. I think when you juxtapose major bank earnings versus our banks, I mean, I think it's chalk and cheese. Why I say that is that the return on equity metrics of major banks in the US is quite rightly pathetic. But what they keep on doing is churn out earnings. And that's purely at the level of the fact that they have such big balance sheets that they can deploy capital into that economy. And looking at the fact that the Fed has stepped into the quantitative tightening cycle of theirs, what we can see is the Fed, when they hold their reserves, they don't necessarily mark to market these reserves on a consistent basis, meaning they can always come into that economy and really release excess liquidity into that economy. And you're seeing it in the major banks' earnings. When we come to the tech sector, I think it's a bit of hit and miss, where Apple has shown strong growth out of the Chinese economy with the new iPhone 17 sales. But then you looked at Netflix earnings, which saw quite rightly a good sell-off because of the subscriber numbers not coming down and there's been a lot of margin pressure. With Tesla's earnings, it's a bit of a hit and miss because they're getting a lot of competition outside of China, and they're not seeing a lot of traction in the euro economy. So Tesla is, in my opinion, almost going into X growth.
So, Gia, do we then stick with the tech stocks? I mean, the Magnificent Seven have been all the rage in the US, and they've been driving a lot of the themes, like the AI themes that we've been seeing coming out of global sentiment. If we are to look at equity markets and we're to look at which equity areas add value, we know that there's a huge upward cycle at the moment on local commodity counters because of the commodity prices. Is there still the tech conversation, and is it still as strong as it was before?
I was doing an analysis and looking at all fourth quarters since 1975. 75% of the time, the S&P 500 closes in positive territory going into the end of the year. So, I mean, if we had to take four coin tosses, three of them say that the S&P 500 will close in positive territory. And looking at the composite number of the Mag 7 in terms of index valuation, you have to believe that the AI trade is still really in play at the moment. Do I believe that other equity markets show better value than the Mag 7? Yes, I do. Right across Europe, in Asia, even locally, there's better value to be found. But as I say continuously to you, Jimmy, in our private conversation is follow the momentum. That's probably where you're going to be making money.
Speaking of momentum, before I let you go, Kia, the local markets, I had a look at the top 40. We haven't had a bearish month for the year 2025. I don't know if that has happened before in South African markets, or at least in recent history, but going into the tail end of the year, we are almost done with October. We've got 2 months, or maybe a month and a half, given how short December tends to be. Is this going to be potentially the first year we finish the year without a single red month on the top 40?
I think so. I mean, I recently wrote an article looking at the old market adage of sell in May and go away, and how that really translates into South African top 40. And you see quite a big divergence between Euro markets and the US markets, because the South African market always has a jittery May to December trade. So what I was particularly looking at is the strength and momentum drivers within the top 40 index, and looking at the fact that resources and materials have really done well for us. But you've seen quite a lag in industrial counters, especially those who have SA-based earnings. So when what I, why I'm saying is that what I'm saying to that is the top 40 index still has a lot of counters when you look at the length and breadth of its earning, the length and breadth of its momentum drive, that are still lagging the resource counters. There's still a lot more counters on our market that have more opportunity to go up. And I think that's what's given me conviction that the top 40 index and the JSE All Share will carry on producing returns going into November and December.
Follow the momentum. Don't try and predict the market, but rather wait for the market to tell you what it wants to do. I suppose that is where the key comes in from an investment point of view, at least from a trade perspective as well. I think we'll leave the conversation on that note. Thank you so much to Kerabile Nonyana of Primex BT for joining us to take a look at market movements, market momentum, and perhaps even some of the earnings that have been coming out of the US and how they're influencing market sentiment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.